In thinking about Father's Day, we celebrated what mothers did, the nurturing that they do, the role that they play in just being involved in the lives of their children. When it comes to men, when it comes to us as men, sometimes there are many of us that maybe we didn't get the training that we would really like to get. Maybe what we have become as men has been what we have learned and what God has put into our lives. And so the thing that's really been on my heart for this morning is to speak into our lives as men, not only yours, but also mine. I want to think about how I raised my boys, and I want to look at my grandsons. And the reality is, the world that I grew up in and the world that my grandsons are growing up in is two different worlds. Sin has always been present. Would you agree with that? But it has never been more in our face than it is today. Things that we never dreamed would have been embraced or permitted or celebrated are being done just that today. And I know for you who are followers of Christ, it is a grief to your name. So what I want to do this morning, I'm going to do a little bit of a different approach for Father's Day. One of our survey questions, and that's why we continued with you, asked for it. One of our survey questions that we put out to you was, and this is one that was hit more probably than anything else, was this. How do you deal as a Christian with topics that are going on socially in our world? How do you deal with them in a godly way? Things like racism and things like that. What's the Christian response? And so what I want to talk about today is something that's right up in front of our face. I want us to think about the Me Too movement because it calls for a biblical response from the church. There is such a spotlight on this issue in the United States of America that the church has got to get this right. The church has got to say and behave in the right way, or we will lose more and more credibility. We've got to be certain that we don't try to sweep things under the rug with a boys will be boys kind of mentality. You understand what I'm saying? And so I want us to look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read it. This is in your outline. I think it's up on the screen. I want to read it to you from the Living Bible because it's really, really clear about what God is saying to us. And here's what he says. Paul talking to this young pastor. He says, "Never speak sharply to an older man, but plead with him respectfully, just as though he were your own father. Talk to the younger men as you would to much loved brothers. Treat the older women as mothers and the girls as your sisters, thinking only pure thoughts about them." Our call, brothers, as Christian men and fathers, is in two particular areas. We are to speak contrary to culture, our culture here in America, when it is contrary to the Word of God. And we've talked about that all the time, about we have to give a biblical response to issues of sex and marriage. We have to make sure we're teaching, "Thus saith the Lord." But when it comes to matters like racism, when it comes to matters like the sexual exploitation of women and how men are supposed to talk to women who are not their wives, we have to declare clearly, not just with our mouths, but also with our lives, "Hey, God calls that sin, and it is just wrong." Would you agree with me? Yeah. That is a biblical position. So let me answer a question. Why this message on Father's Day? And here's the reason why. Because men of high standing are losing their marriages, they are losing their jobs and their reputation, and many of them are going to prison. And biblically, sir, or brother, whether you know Jesus Christ or not, it is the intent of God, the Holy Spirit, in our text to make sure that for me as a dad and as a husband, God says, John, you make sure every female in your home and who comes under your roof, you make sure that women, young or older than you, younger than you, older than you, your same age, at work, like here in our office areas, in your daily circle, and certainly here at church when we gather on the hill, God is saying, guys, you make sure that those women from their heart would never level at you a charge of impropriety with them. Never level at you a charge of inappropriate vocabulary. Never charge you with inappropriate touching. Every man here, including me, is broken. Would you agree with that? I'm broken. I am a sinner. Sin dwells in this body. But what I want to do today is I want to encourage all of us that we will remain pure in our daily walk with women of all ages. This is the challenge that is facing us today. And while I would love to just challenge you as dads, this is the order of the day. It is destroying men. And I believe that God is involved in it. I think the Lord's involved in it. So let me just break this down for you. And I just want to go on record as saying I have leaned heavily on the research and the work on this topic of pastor and theologian Dr. James Emery White. I very much appreciate all the time and research that he and his researchers have put into this that have helped me just kind of get this message together. So if you got your life point outline, let's look at number one here. There is a moral tsunami in America today. And here, let me just start off with an insight. The Me Too movement is being called the greatest cultural upheaval in decades. It is a day of cultural reckoning. And I just want you to understand, I believe that the God of my soul is at work in this. And I want to suggest to you that the Me Too movement is not only to men in the work world, it is to men in the church. And maybe for a long time we have cast a disapproving finger at the Roman Catholic Church for many of the things that we've read about with regards to the priest. But this charge is coming home to Protestant churches. And we need to make sure that we keep our skirts clean. Does that make sense? Yes. All right. Since the first of the year, prominent men in news, entertainment, government, education, and sadly, Protestant churches have been publicly accused of sexual harassment or assault of women under their leadership. And probably the guy whose sexual predator lifestyle gave power to the movement was Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein. You remember that. You've seen it on TV more than we wanted to. Well-known women like Ashley Judd, Angelina Jolie, Gwyneth Paltrow, and many others charged Weinstein with everything from sexual harassment to assault. And those women either felt like that they had to either yield to him or push him off but keep their mouth shut, or else their careers would be ruined and they would have been sidelined. In Hollywood, it was termed the open secret, meaning many people knew about it, but nobody was talking about it. And suddenly, it moved to center stage in the public arena under blazing lights. And it's just like God has warned us in the Word. Now listen to what God has warned us again, guys. You've heard this, but let me just say it again. God says there comes a time when what is done in secret will be brought into the light. You remember that? That's what we're seeing today. There's another scripture says, be sure your sin will what? Find you out. God says, ultimately, it all comes to the surface. And he who covers his sin will not prosper. Men with name recognition, like Judge Roy Moore, Republican for a position in Congress, Kevin Spacey, Ben Affleck, Dustin Hoffman, former Carolina Panthers owner Jerry Richardson. The charges focused on sexually suggestive language and inappropriate touching. The power of this river of cultural change has been its ability to reopen stories and reach untouchables like Bill Cosby. Would you have ever thought Bill Cosby, huh? How many of you remember watching The Cosby Show on television, right? From 1984 to 1992, he was in the top ratings. For 5 years, 84 to 89, he was the number one show in America from coast to coast. Today, this past April, Bill Cosby stands found guilty on 3 counts of aggravated sexual assault. He's going to prison. Guys like Bill O'Reilly, even Pastor Bill Hybels of Willow Creek, and here of late, Dr. Paige Patterson, who is now former president of Southwestern Theological Seminary in Fort Worth. I was incredulous when I first learned of the accusation against Pastor Bill Hybels. I have sat under that man's teaching. I've gone to his church that he founded under God's blessing. And this has been a man, has been used of the Lord. Bill Hybels has encouraged pastors all across the world. He has taught men how to lead and offer leadership in churches. He has preached the word faithfully and has led thousands into the family of God through his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But those accusations against Pastor Bill were from former lead women in Willow Creek Church, women that Hybels recognized and publicly promoted. The accusations, inappropriate comments, private meetings with women in his home or at a hotel room, intrusive hugs. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, the research says around 60% of American women say they have been sexually harassed on the job, but they don't talk about it. They're quiet about it. And I just want every woman here, I want you to know from me that we support you if you have been harassed. And one of the initiatives of this national movement is called Time's Up. And this is from their ad in the New York Times. It says, to every woman employed in agriculture who's had to fend off unwanted advances from her boss, every housekeeper who has tried to escape an assaultive guest, every janitor trapped nightly in a building with a predatory supervisor, every waitress grabbed by a customer and expected to take it with a smile, we just want you to know we stand with you. So that brings me to number two. I want you to look in your outline. I think it goes without saying, but it needs to be said, that right now, my grandsons are being raised up in a sex-saturated society, as are my granddaughters. I have 7 granddaughters, 5 grandsons. Many of you have grandchildren, as well as sons and daughters. And they're being raised up in a culture that's different from what we grew up in. And what I want you to understand is, if I'm going to be the man that God wants me to be, and if you're going to be the men God wants you to be, we have got to be faithful and make sure we speak into our sons and our grandsons the truth about how they treat women, because they're going to see something totally different from the culture that they're submerged in. Does that make sense? And they have got to know what dad and granddad say, hey, that is wrong. And there are lines out there, and that's the point of number two. There are lines not to be crossed. Here's the admonition in your outline. Don't be guilty of mansplaining sexual harassment. Mansplaining is when we as guys deflect what another man who has out-of-line behavior. And many times a guy will say, well, if a woman feels she's really being harassed or assaulted, she should get angry and fight back or quit. Let me give you two responses from women on that in the work world. Just listen to what they said. One woman said, men don't understand the fear of retaliation that women carry. Fear that if they resist, if they fight back or go public, they will ruin any future they might have had and their livelihood. One single mom said this, if you're a single parent mom hanging on by a thread, living paycheck to paycheck, the power you can feel that the person who signs your paycheck has over you is absolutely staggering. Our biblical text is clear that men who follow Christ cannot stand with guys who try to mansplain it and say, hey, guys will be guys. It's just a friendly touch on the shoulder, just a friendly hand on the back that shouldn't be where it was, but it's just playing around. What it is crossing a line. It's crossing a line between a man and a woman that God never intended for a man to cross. And let me just say this. There are women in our culture who dress provocatively, but that is not a talking point. That is not a talking point. If a woman may dress provocatively, but that is no excuse for a man stepping out of line. A line is crossed. A line is crossed. And there, what God is going to be teaching us, this is the truth in your outline. Sexual violence, unwanted sexual words, or touch demeans, violates, and hurts. So let me bring this down to us as brothers in Christ. Number three, let God speak. What does my Father and your Father in heaven say to us? Yeah, the Bible is not quiet on this subject. Scripture plainly records that there was a time in King David's career where he acted like a sexual predator with the wife of Uriah, his military bodyguard. You remember that? David was being a sexual predator, and it was wrong. And God pronounced judgment on him and his sin. Would you agree with that? And you know what happened in his life. And God simply says, sin always brings death and suffering in some form. It always will. And it should go without saying that God calls any sexual harassment by a man toward a woman as sin. Any man who makes improper sexual comments to any woman who is not his wife, that is sin. Any man who improperly touches any woman who isn't his wife, that is sin. Any man who uses his position over women to his physical advantage is acting like a sexual predator, whether he means it or not, and a line has been crossed. There is a line out there. That's what God is teaching us. Now, I want you to look back at our Bible text this morning. It states God's directive to us. What is it? 1 Timothy 5, verse 2. He said, treat older women as mothers and the girls, the younger women, as sisters with absolute purity. And I put something in your outline this morning. The word for purity in Greek is the word for modesty and chastity. Has everything to do with sexual purity. All right? And that's God's call to us. God is saying to me as a dad, me as a husband, to me as a man. He said, John, listen to me. As you go through life, I want you to end well. And he's saying, at all times, when you interact with women, you always do it in a manner that is above reproach and without blame. No woman should ever leave my presence, brothers, or your presence, having felt uncomfortable being around you. Does that make sense? Would you say amen to that, guys? You're awfully quiet this morning. I'm not accusing. I am trying to build fences. Here's the insight. The greater point today is that men, when looking at a woman, not their wives, and whom they are not dating, we are to go into family mode. See, that's what God said. You go into family mode. The women around you who are not your wife should be approached, God says, according to their age, as they relate to you as either your mother, your sister, or your daughter. And that will keep you at an appropriate level with them. Here's what that means. Women who are younger than me, much younger than me, here at church or when I am out, wherever I may be, if they're much, much younger than me, my attitude toward them, my behavior toward them, is to be as though they were my daughter. God says, you treat those young girls just like you would treat your daughter. That is the way you're to behave. Any woman who is older than me and old enough maybe to be my mother or she's seriously older than me is to be treated as though she were my mother. That's the way it's supposed to be done. Any woman near my age is to be treated as though she were my sister. And maybe you're saying, well, sure, Pastor, that's a given. Listen, the compartmentalization of this in men's mind is absolutely staggering. Matt Lauer, how many of you recognize that name? Matt Lauer, the NBC Today show, lost his job and his reputation over sexual harassment. He has 3 children. Harvey Weinstein has 5 children. These guys didn't integrate the biblical directive at all into their daily lives. Women were just sexual objects. And here's what I want you to understand. Let me just say something. I implore all of you who are out there in the work world, men and women, I want to implore you from today. Are you ready for this? Don't do business lunches alone with the opposite sex. You're asking for trouble. You are leaving yourself open to accusation and temptation. You may say, Brother John, you just, listen, I don't care. For years, Dr. Billy Graham, when he started his evangelistic association, it was understood, you will be fired if we ever learn that you had a private meal with a woman who is not your wife or with a man who is not your husband. We will not permit it in this organization. That is why the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association never had an accusation of moral impropriety in all the years that Dr. Graham was preaching the Word of God. Does that make sense? I'm telling you, Satan is alive and well, and he will do everything to hurt our name as his church in a world that desperately needs us to be able to speak to them. And so I'm just simply saying, I want to encourage you, if you're in the business world, do not do a business lunch with somebody of the opposite sex without somebody else being there with you. Just carry other people with you or do your work on the job with them, your conversation, but guard yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, moral character matters. It matters. Guys, this Father's Day, I want to ask us, if you will just hear me from my heart, I want to ask us that as men, that you and I will affirm and reaffirm, we want to live morally and sexually blameless lives. We want to come to the end of our earth journey having done well. That we will keep our family name intact. That we will be above reproach. That for as long as we live, our sons and our daughters can look up to us as an example. We may be or certainly not be perfect, but by the grace of God, we will not have charges of moral impropriety laid against our name. Here's what I want to do. I have written out a prayer here on the back of this sheet, and I want you to look at it because I'm going to ask for a response from you guys in just a moment. And here's a prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for speaking into my life today as a man. From today, I commit to treat all women and girls as you have taught me. To women my age who are not my wife, I commit to relate to them as I would to a sister. To women older than me, I commit to relate to them as I would to my mother. To women much younger than me, I commit to relate to them as I would to my daughter. I commit today to live out my days as a man who is morally and sexually blameless in my relationship with all ages of women. I commit to so live my life that no woman at work or otherwise will feel uncomfortable around me. Father, help me live this commitment to the end of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I would like for us, Stacy's going to come, and we're going to have some music. And I want us, guys, I want us to have a come to Jesus time down here at the front. I don't know why this should not appeal to every man that's here. And I just want to ask you, would you join me by coming here to the front and let's kneel before God? And I'm going to read through this prayer again. And by you coming and kneeling here, you're saying, Brother John, that's my prayer. That's how I want to live my life. In this sex-saturated society, I want to come to the end of my journey. And I want to be right before men, before women, and before God. Would you just stand together, please? And guys, if that's your heart, I just want you to come, kneel down here at the front, and I'm going to pray with you, and we're going to pray together as men.